woke up with warfare coming against my mind, really attacked over this word. And I believe that this is one of the most important sermons I've ever preached in my life. And I think it's one of the most simple sermons I may have ever preached in my life. I believe today that there's going to be chains broken off of some minds and hearts. I believe today that there's going to be a refreshing fall on some folks in this church today. I believe today that some of you have been going through some physical, mental, emotional, spiritual battles. And I believe today that the hand of the Lord is going to be present to break some things off of your life, off of your home, off of your minds, off of your hearts. Can you believe that with me this morning? Can anybody say, I need a little bit of that? Amen. Well, Father, this morning I give this to you. I can't deliver this without you, Holy Spirit. Without you, I'm useless. I'm just a voice, just a man. But Lord, with you, with your help, with your enabling, I can deliver this word the way you gave it to me. I pray that you would speak to my heart, that I would continue to receive the revelation of this, that I would continue to receive freedom from things that have bound me in my life and my mind. And I pray today, Holy Spirit, manifest your presence. Touch each and every one, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Who knows what John 3:16 says? Who knows what John 3:16 really, really, really says to you? I've read this scripture so many times, heard it so many times. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. How big is this world that we live in? For God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? His only begotten son. That whosoever. It is, yes. He loved the world. And he said, you know what? Whomsoever in the world, whomsoever would choose Jesus, whomsoever would choose eternal life, I'll give it to you. Whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't send Jesus to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Today I want to talk to you about you are important to God. You are important
to God.
And some of you might be thinking, important to God. Well, where was he when I went through? Where was he if I'm important to God? Where was he when I went through my sickness? Where was he when I was abandoned as a child? Where was he when my husband, my wife told me they didn't love me anymore and just left me and the children all alone? If he loved me, where was he? You ever think about that? Some people think about that. And hear the Bible saying, for God so loved the world. He loved the world. He loved the world. So here's my question for you this morning. And it's just a simple question that I had to answer for myself. Let me back up a little bit. Imagine this young black kid, 19 years old, doesn't hardly have anything, doesn't have a job, struggling in the hood, friends are trying to get him to sell dope. The temptations were there to do all kinds of evil things just to make money because there was no money. This young black kid who was going to church wearing sometimes the same pair of pants and the same shirt because that was it. You know, you only had one nice pair of pants and one nice shirt. And sometimes when you hear about the love of God, you think, well, God, why did I have to go through some of this stuff? Now, this is that young black kid. This is that young black kid. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What did it take? How many lost people did it take for God to say, you know what? I'm going to send my son. How many? That's a question I'm posing to you this morning. 10 billion? Did God look through eternity and see 10 billion lost souls? And he thought, that's 10 billion people going to hell. I'm going to send my son. Was it 10 million? I'll tell you what, let's back it up a little bit. Was it 10,000? Let's back it up some more. Was it 1,000 people that God saw? And he said, you know what? I'm going to send my only son because I love the 1,000. Can you imagine God sending his only son from heaven for 1,000 sinners? Well, what if it was 100? No way. No way. No way will I send my only son for 100 sinners. There's no way. How do you answer that question? That God would love sinners so much that he would send his only son to be tortured and beaten, shed his blood, die on a Roman cross like a criminal, be buried in a borrowed tomb, but hallelujah, to be raised again from the dead. How many does it take? I want to answer that question this morning. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 18, I want to try and answer that question, because all the way up to me opening my eyes this morning, I struggled with this answer. Because that young black kid still lived in here saying, God, are you sure I'm enough? Matthew chapter 18 and verse 12. And here's a parable. And Jesus said, how think ye if a man have 100 sheep and 99 of them have gone astray? Oh, that's not what it says. Oh, let me look. Let me hold the Bible a little bit further away. If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? Wait a minute. Jesus is telling a story about this shepherd. He says a man has lost sheep, and he says this shepherd, because of this one sheep, this shepherd leaves his home and goes to the mountains. Now, here is my question. How treacherous is this journey that this shepherd is going on to look for this sheep? He's going to the mountains. Will there be wild beasts there? Could he be in jeopardy of his life going to look for this lost sheep? Could it actually be too cold outside? Could it be too hot outside? Could he have something important going on? There's a wedding going on, and I'm supposed to be at my sister's wedding, but I have a lost little lamb. But here's what he said. Does he not leave the 99 and go into the mountain and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices. He rejoices more of that sheep. What does that sheep look like? When I was reading this, I was thinking in my mind, what does this sheep look like? Is this sheep a young black boy? Is it a young white female? Is it a middle-aged man? A middle-aged woman? What does this sheep look like that he's talking about? And the answer is all of the above. If you want to know what that sheep looks like, you just find you a mirror. And it says here, when he finds it, verily I say unto you that he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. And here's the scripture. That set my mind free. Listen to what this says. Even so, it is not. Can you say that with me? Not. Say that one more time. It is not. Say it loud. It is not. Even so, it is not the will of your Father. Now, we know about the Father's will. God, is it your will to save me? Is it your will to heal me? Is it your will to save my family? Is it your will to bless me? We're always asking, God, is this your will? Here is something that is not God's will. This is not God's will. It says, even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one
Not one of these little ones should perish. Not one. Do you know who that one is? It's you. You. Let me go back to my question. How many did it take? How many lost souls did it take for God to decide, I'm going to send my only son to die for them? Was it 10 billion? Was it 10 million? 10,000? 1,000? 100? Was it 10? It was one. One? Do you mean to tell me that if it was just me, if it was just me, if I were the only one, that Jesus would come and die on a cross? Just for me? Does he not understand how worthless? Does he not understand how I grew up? Does he not know the things I've gone through in life? And he would still send his son just for me? But this is what's going on. Some of us have this mindset. Some of us have this mindset that we are not worth it. There are people in this room right now, you have the mindset, yeah, David, I hear you, but I just don't know if I'm worth it. See, this is how we think. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So I know what that means. That means that God chose Israel, so he loves Israel. And then God loves that group and that group and that group. And because of all of them that he really loved, he gave his only begotten son. But since the door was already open, I just kind of stumbled in behind them. Because he couldn't have done it just for me. I have some news for you, Faithful Word. All you watching online, I have some news for you this morning. Father God thought you were worth saving. You as an individual, not you as a group, not you as a church, not you as a family, not you as a community. God saw you. God saw you. God saw you right where you were, in your stuff, in your mess, in your filthiness of sin. He saw you. He loved you. And he sent his son. Thank you, Father. Just for you. Just for you. Amen. Lord, let that revelation sink deep into the heart of your people. Break the chains off their minds. Break the chains of unbelief. Let me read John 3:16 again. Let me just read it to you. I want you to hear this. For God so loved David Walker that he gave his only begotten son, that if David Walker believed in him, David Walker should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn David Walker, but that David Walker through him might be saved. That's good news this morning. Can you put your name there?
Yes.
Would you dare put your name there? Would you dare allow the love of God to sink into your heart and put your name in John 3:16?
Amen.
I woke up this morning, and it was two things the enemy was bombarding my mind with. And I'm like, what is going on here? Two things. Number one thing he was bombarding my mind with was this. You think you're going to see a move of God this morning? No, you're not. No, you're not. I thought, wow, Holy Spirit is really going to show up at church today. Because the enemy is messing with my mind this morning. And here's the second thing he was messing with me about. You cannot tell those people that God would have died for them individually. So I, you know what a wise man does? He texts the pastor. There are times when you pray, and there are times when you send the pastor a text. I texted the pastor. I said, "Pastor, I have a question for you about my sermon. Please call me." He called me. I said, "Pastor Tardo, how many people you think it would take for Jesus to come?" Pastor Tardo said, "I'll tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, he come for one." That's all I needed to hear.
Amen.
Devil, you better get out of here. Get out of here. I'm in agreement with the word. I'm in agreement with my pastor, and I'm in agreement with the Holy Ghost speaking to my heart about what I need to share this morning. I got off the phone with Pastor Tardo, and I read that scripture again, and I just wept. Whew. God, you came for me. God, you came for me. I have a point two, but I just can't get off point one. Because I know there are some people in here, even now, you're still struggling. You're still struggling in your mind. You're still struggling with this fact that, God, I just can't see it. I've just gone through too much. I'm not worth it. You're right. You're absolutely right. Whatever you've done, whatever you've gone through, whatever you've been through, and you're thinking, "I'm not good enough for God's love," you're right.
That's right.
But his love is bigger than your mess. Let me say that again. His love is bigger than your mess, because you were a mess. I wasn't going to call him out, Pastor. I was just going to leave it in the past. I want you to do something. I'm going to read a scripture, and I want you to just say your name out loud. Are you ready? I'm going to give you the signal. When I do this, I want you to say your name out loud. For God so loved. That he gave his only begotten Son. So that if believed in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn, but that through him might be saved. Can you believe that this morning? Can you give God some praise this morning? Thank you, Lord, that that word is for me. Thank you, Lord, that this is a personal word.
Thank you, Lord. Me.
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 Not you, me.
No, me.
Oh.
You too.
Me too. Hallelujah. Point number two. Did I tell you this topic? My sermon title? You're important to God.
Yeah.
You are important to God. Point number two. So if you are important to God and he sent his Son to save you and you actually received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, guess what point number two is? You are now in the family of God.
That's right.
You are now in the family of God. This is what Psalm 100 says. Amen. Turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse 1, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Don't look like you've been eating lemon and grapefruit all day. Serve the Lord with gladness. I'm glad to serve the Lord. Come before his presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. What does it say? We are his people.
Right.
We are his people.
Right.
We are his people.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
I'm a member of his tribe.
Yeah.
I'm a member of his family.
Yeah.
You're my brothers and sisters.
Right.
I love you, brothers and sisters.
We love you too, brothers. Brother.
I love you, brothers and sisters.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
I love you, brothers and sisters.
We love you too.
I love you, brothers and sisters. We are in the family of God. That makes us kinfolk. What's up, bro? We are kinfolk. Now, you might have some earthly kin who might not claim they know you. But I claim you're my brother and sister. That might be that uncle that you might see and like, oh, Lord. But I claim you as my brothers and sisters, all of you, each and every one of you. You might not look like me, sound like me, live like me, like the things I like. But if you are a part of God's family, you are part of my family.
Amen.
We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
And he will go looking for the one.
Thank you.
1 Peter 2:9 says this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You got that right.
Yeah.
that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:10, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. We are family.
Yes.
Amen.
We are family.
Yes.
We are oh, that's the wrong song. We are family. Yeah, that's I'm sorry. We are God's family. I got my brothers and my sisters and me. If we are a part of God's family, this is what that means. We don't belong to this world. We belong to Jesus. We are a part of God's family. And if we belong to Jesus and we're his people, that means that what I have belongs to him. And that means that what he has belongs to me. Oh, see you go. I heard the clink, clink, clink. The lock's on the brain. Wait a minute. Nope, nope, nope. That can't be. The brain went on lockdown. Let me say that again. We don't belong to this world. We belong to Jesus. And we are his people. We just read that. And what we have belongs to him. And what he has belongs to us. Tell me this. Can you imagine parents, and I'm just talking to parents right now. And you have kids in your home. How many times do your kids come up to you and say, Mama, Daddy, can I please, please, please go into the refrigerator and get some water? Please, I beg you with all my heart, please let me go get some water. If that's happening in your house, I need to talk to you after the service. Pastor needs to talk. I don't know if I can talk to you. You need to talk to the man. Mama, I know you have this whole box of cereal sitting here on the counter, but can I just have one Fruity Pebble? One Corn Flake? Please, please. What would your parents say? Boy, have you lost your mind? Get all you want. You don't have to ask me for that. This is yours. But Daddy, you went and bought it. You worked for it. You earned it. You paid for it. I didn't do anything. I'm just sitting here. I'm just a kid. Of course you would say, look, son, I did pay the price for this, but I paid it for you. It's all yours. It's all yours. You see, if what we have belongs to him and what he has belongs to us, that means that fear does not belong to me because fear does not belong to him. Depression does not belong to me because depression does not belong to him. What he has belongs to me. What I have belongs to him because we are all in the same family. So depression, fear, anxiety, sickness, poverty, stress, you don't belong to me because you don't belong to him. Jesus is our Lord and King. And if we are his people, that means that his righteousness belongs to us. His peace belongs to us. His joy belongs to us. His provisions belong to us. His healing belongs to us. His freedom belongs to us. I don't have to be chained because chains do not belong to him. Addictions don't belong to Jesus, and they don't belong to me. Do you know that there was an auction, and Elvis Presley's Bible sold for $94,000? I promise you, David Walker didn't spend that money on it. Yes. Elvis Presley's Bible sold for $94,000. Why did this one Bible sell for $94,000? It was worth it because of who it belonged to. Do you realize there was an event and Scarlett Johansson, the actress, was sitting at this event and she took some tissue and blew her nose and wiped her face. That tissue sold for $5,300 on eBay. Was that snotty tissue worth $5,300? It sold for that because of who it belonged to. Who I'm... Oh, hallelujah. Do you realize that John Lennon, one of the members of the Beatles, had lost a tooth and he gave it to his housekeeper? She gave it to her daughter and it sold in an auction for $31,000. Do you think that tooth was worth $31,000? It was worth it because of who it belonged to. Let me tell you something, Faithful Word. This young black dude who grew up in poverty is worth it. He's worth it. He's worth it because of who I belong to. I belong to Jesus, and you can't tell me that I can't be healed. You can't tell me that I can't be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't tell me that I can't see revival break out wherever I go. I'm worth it. I'm worth it. You are worth it because you are part of the family of God. You are worth it because you are a part of the family of God. Do you realize it's taken, how much restraint it's taken me not to just run around this church right now? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If a snotty rag, a broken tooth, if it could be worth thousands, hallelujah, what can I be worth? Because I belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know what I wish I had this morning? I wish somebody would stand up on their feet and give God some glory just for a second. Can somebody stand up and give God some glory? Woo! Hallelujah! I'm worth it. I'm worth it. Can somebody say I'm worth it? Can you just shout I'm worth it? Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Woo! You can be seated. Sit down. Have the chains broke off your mind yet? Jesus said this, my sheep. Listen to what he said, John 10:27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now listen to this, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I don't care what the devil tells you he's going to do. He can't do nothing to you because you are in the hands of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it don't matter what you're going through. That don't mean anything because at the end of the day, I'm his.
That's right. Amen.
Right. I'm his.
Always.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
I really need to get moving on this sermon. If y'all would quit jumping around and shouting, I would have been on the next point by now. Here's my third point. What was my first point? Y'all remember the name of this? I'm important to God. Yeah, that's the name of this. You are important to God. What's the second thing I said? If you're saved, you are now in the family of God. And what does that mean? Help me remember. You're a part of God's family now?
Yes.
You're his? You're worth it?
Yep.
You're not worthless?
No.
When the devil comes and says, y'all, you ain't worth it. There you go, sister. That's what I'm talking about. If you're going to preach, preach with me. Yes. Here's my third point. In these last days, I believe the devil has unleashed a spirit of accusation on God's people. A spirit of accusation is rampant these days. It has attacked me. It's attacked me in my mind and heart. There's been times I've gone into my prayer closet, and here's what I've heard. Oh, now you want to come in your prayer closet after all that work and all the stuff you've been doing. You could have cut the grass another day. You think that's the Holy Spirit saying, David, don't come in here and pray?
No.
No, of course it's not the Holy Spirit. But that voice has come at us, and it accuses us of things.
Yeah.
The spirit of accusation has been unleashed in these last days, but I'm going to give you a secret weapon that you could use when that spirit comes. You see, this is what happens. The enemy tells you, you're not good enough to be healed. You coming up for prayer, for healing, and how much have you prayed this week? Are you serious? You coming up to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and what have you done for God lately? That's what the spirit of accusation says. You need deliverance, but didn't you just do that yesterday? You can't go up to the altar. That's what that spirit says. It accuses you of always, always not being good enough. You're never good enough. This is how my wife said it yesterday. And it was just so profound to me. She said, David, you know, every Christian has accusations as a part of their story from the enemy. Every Christian is accused. It's a part of everybody's story. And when she said that to me, I thought, I'm not the only one that's got to fight this demon from time to time. But she said every Christian has it as a part of their story. The enemy's going to tell you, you don't deserve it. He'll tell you that your salvation wasn't good enough. Oh, your salvation wasn't good enough. What happened when you got saved? Did angels come through the ceiling and blow trumpets to announce that you were saved? Yes. Did fireworks go off? Did Pastor Rusty hit the switch and the fog machine started working and fog went around the church? What happened when you got saved? Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. No matter how dramatic our salvation story, or no matter how simple our salvation story, our salvation story is still our salvation story. Let me read you somebody's salvation story real fast. Nikki Cruz. You heard that name before?
Oh, yeah.
Nikki Cruz was born in 1938. He was one of 19 children born to parents who were heavily into witchcraft and the occult. His dad was a satanic high priest. His mom was heavily into the occult. And so as a child, his parents and his siblings would beat him on a regular basis. They would mentally abuse him. When he was less than 10 years old, his mom had went into a satanic trance and told him, "You, Nikki Cruz, are the son of Satan." Nikki tried to end his life before 10 years old. By age 15, he was so out of his mind that his parents couldn't control him anymore, and they kicked him out of the house, sent him to New York to stay with his brother. So, 15 years old, he goes to stay with his brother in New York City. His brother can't control him. He's so out of control. His brother kicks him out on the streets, and he joins this one of the most notorious gangs in New York City called the Mau Maus. Within a year, this guy was so crazy and violent and demonized that in a year, the 16, 17-year-old boy was the leader of one of the most notorious gangs in New York City. But God. He was surrounded by violence, alcoholism, drugs. His best friend died in his arms after being stabbed multiple times in a gang fight. No one could reach Nikki Cruz. But one day, this is how Nikki Cruz describes it, this skinny white guy from Pennsylvania came, named David Wilkerson. And David Wilkerson came and told these gangs, he says, "God sent me to New York City to preach to you." So Nikki Cruz, at one of the crusades, all the gangs came together and David Wilkerson got up and started preaching. Nikki Cruz said, "You know what? I don't want anything to do with this." And he started walking towards the door. And when David Wilkerson kept preaching, Nikki Cruz turned around, went up to David Wilkerson, slapped him in the face, spit on him, and told him, "I don't need you preaching to me." This is the sweetest guy you ever. I mean, wouldn't you love to invite him for Thanksgiving? To make a long, horrible story short, he ended up on his face in tears, repenting. God saved him and a lot of his gang members, and David Wilkerson began to see revival break out in these gangs in New York City. And you can read more about that in The Cross and the Switchblade.
Yeah. What a blessing.
Amen. Nikki Cruz came to our little church in Alexandria, Louisiana, and testified. I got to meet Nikki Cruz. It was the most intense testimony I've ever heard in my entire life. While he was testifying, I'm sitting there listening to this guy testify. There's this commotion going on to my left. I didn't realize it, but his testimony was so intense. One guy was having a heart attack because just of the intensity of the moment. That's Nikki Cruz's testimony. Let me give you my test. You think that's something? Let me give you my quick testimony. 19 years old. Young kid at a Bible study. Never did drugs. They couldn't convince me to sell a drug, so I never sold drugs. Never drank a drop of alcohol in my life, so I wasn't an alcoholic. I didn't smoke. Matter of fact, all I did was cuss and make people feel bad about themselves when they would make me mad. And I got saved in a living room. Now, that's my testimony. Wasn't that intense? I hope you all are okay. Are you okay? Nikki Cruz, David Walker, same Savior, same blood. The same blood that covered him covered me. The same blood that covered me covered Nikki Cruz. There is no difference in what the Savior came and done. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you haven't done. The blood of Jesus is enough to save you. And when the blood of Jesus saves you, cleanses you, delivers you, you are saved. Totally. To the othermost.
Thank you, Lord.
You are completely cleansed.
Thank you, Lord.
Both David Walker and Nikki Cruz were both on their way to hell. But the blood of Jesus cleansed us both. The blood of Jesus is powerful. And when the enemy comes and he begins to mess with you about your salvation, here is your secret weapon. Devil, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
The blood has cleansed me. The blood has covered me. All of my sins have been covered by the blood. Every wrong I've done has been covered by the blood. Tell me what you want to, but all I know, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount do I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me just read you a few scriptures. I'm wrapping this up. Revelation 1:5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Romans 5:6 says this, "And when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us in that while David Walker was still a sinner, Christ died for him, and he died for you. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Now, here's a scripture I really want you to hear. Revelation 12:10. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down." Yeah. The accuser of the brethren, the devil, Satan, he's the one that tells you you're not good enough.
Right.
You're not worth it. But this is what Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Our secret weapon when that voice comes to you is this: Satan, the blood of Jesus against you. Satan, I plead the blood. You better get out of my mind.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
You better get out of my bedroom talking to me when I'm waking up from a well-deserved night's sleep, the blood of Jesus, and watch that demon run. When you come up for prayer and that voice says you don't deserve to be healed, the blood of Jesus, you a liar. The blood covers me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. There is power in the blood. We can overcome the voices that lie to us and tell us that we are not good enough, not saved enough, not righteous enough by declaring this simple truth. I plead the blood of Jesus. His blood has washed me. His blood has cleansed me. His blood has delivered me. His blood has set me free. His blood has sanctified me. His blood has justified me. And you watch and see how fast that little dog runs out of your mind when you start pleading the blood. When the enemy says that you're unworthy, you tell him the blood declares that you're righteous. When the enemy says that it is hopeless, you tell him that the blood guarantees me that there is hope for my future. When the enemy says that you can't change, you tell him the blood declares freedom for my life, deliverance for my life. We should wake up in the morning, rubbing our sleepy eyes, pleading the blood. Lord, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I'll wake up some mornings, my wife will wake up, and this is what I hear her saying. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over my family. I plead the blood of Jesus over my marriage. I plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, and I'm just laying there like, hallelujah for a woman who knows the power of the blood.
Amen.
What was that last point I was trying to tell y'all? Y'all remember, I had one last point. Point number three, that accusation comes, but we have something. What was it? A secret weapon, the blood of Jesus. Here's my last scripture. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Turn there with me. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. I'm not preaching it, I'm just reading it. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. This is the scripture that I heard the night I got saved. Romans 10, 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is one of the most simple scriptures I've ever read. Yet it is one of the most profound and powerful scriptures I've ever read. And here's why I want to ask you this morning. If you have been accused by the devil and he has been messing with your mind, I want to pray for you. I want to lay my hands on you because I want to see God refresh you. Some of you have been beat down by the enemy. He's been telling you all this junk, doing all this junk, and I didn't come here just to talk. I come here to see what the Holy Ghost wanted to do this morning. And so my invitation is simple. Do you need me to pray for you this morning? And if you do, I want you to come up and meet me at this altar. And I'm not going to say this long, drawn-out prayer over you. I'm just going to simply put my hand on you and pray for God to refresh you, for God to encourage you, for God to save you, whatever you need. I want you to come and meet me at this altar if I am talking to you this morning. Just come and meet me at this altar. And just side by side, I want you to just stand side by side at this altar. And while you come, I just want to pray while you come. Just come and gather around the altar. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you this morning. I thank you this morning, Lord God, that this is not about us. It's not about people. It's not about me. It's not about anybody. Lord, this is your moment. Jesus, come and just allow us to be a part of your moment. Jesus, these are your sheep. These are your sheep. And all you've called us to do is to love your sheep, to love your people. I just ask you, Lord. I just ask you, Lord. God, we need you. Oh, God, we need you this morning. There's nothing I can do. Jesus, without you, Lord, these people can't receive. Lord, please touch your people. Whatever their needs are, Holy Spirit, I ask you to touch them. Give me the grace to get out of your way. Give me the grace to get out of your way. Father, I just prayed you prepare this time. This is your time, Lord. Father, we're not rushing you, Holy Spirit. Please have your way. Lord, all the lies the enemy has been speaking to your people, all the accusations against them, telling them that they're unworthy, telling them that they're not good enough, telling them that it's over for them, all of the lies, Lord, I just pray this morning that those lies would be exposed. And I pray in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, you meet them where they are. Meet them where they are. Meet them at this altar, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, meet them at this altar. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Holy Spirit. Please touch your people. Holy Spirit, touch your people. Just allow the Holy Spirit to just deal with you where you are. Just allow him to deal with you right where you are. Let his presence, just submit to his presence. This is a safe place. There's no demon at this altar that's trying to get you. There's no false Christ at this altar. This is a holy place. Allow the Holy Spirit to deal with your heart. Even those thoughts, Lord, of that the enemy is trying to tell them not to surrender to you, Lord. I bind even those thoughts. I bind those spirits that trying to tell them that there is some evil spirit. No, there is no evil spirit. This is God's house. All of those harassing thoughts, spirits, in the name of Jesus, I bind them in Jesus' name. I command them to leave in the name of Jesus. I command them to loose these people in the name of Jesus. Harassing thoughts, anxiety, depression. In the name of Jesus, I command those spirits to go. Thoughts of not being worthy. Thoughts of not being good enough, thoughts of abandonment. I command those spirits to go in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for a refreshing. Lord, touch my brother. Refresh him, Lord. Refresh him physically. Touch this body.
What?
Heal, deliver, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for my sister, Lord. Refreshing in Jesus' name. Refresh her, Lord. Refreshing. Refreshing for my sister in the name of Jesus. Refreshing over my sister, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the love that she has. Thank you for the love that she has for you and the love that you have for her. In the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you in the name of Jesus, Father. Refreshing. All those faults I command to go in Jesus' name. Refresh my sister in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, touch her, Lord. Refresh my sister, I pray, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The past is the past. The past is the past. This is a new day. Walk into this newness of life with the Lord. Walk into this newness of life with me. The past is behind you. The past is gone. Walk into this new day. A new day. A new day. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for my sister. In the name of Jesus. Refreshing. Refreshing in Jesus' name. A refreshing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, even a fresh anointing, a fresh equipping. Lord, put boldness in her mouth. Put fire in her mouth. Lord, let her speak the truth in love. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, for a double portion, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Refreshing in the name of Jesus. Thank you for my brother. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for drawing him, drawing him, drawing him. I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Brother, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe is what they ask in the book of Acts? That's your assignment. You need to begin to read about the Holy Ghost, and you expect very soon for God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. It might be today, it might be tomorrow, but that's your assignment. Be filled with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Thank you for my brother, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, fill him. Fill him with your spirit. Fill him with your spirit, even at this altar, Lord. Give him tongues of fire. Give him that unknown language that he doesn't know, but I pray that you feel him even now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for a refreshing over my sister, Lord. She has been through the fire. She's been through the storm. She's been through the wars. She's been through the battles. And I pray, Lord, every wound to be healed. Every wound to be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, heal her heart. Heal her emotions. Heal her mind. Refresh her. Fresh fire in the name of Jesus. Fresh anointing in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray for revival, personal revival to be over my sister, to be on her life. Personal revival in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for my sister. Thank you, Father, for healing. Thank you, Lord God, for a new beginning. Thank you, Lord God, for a refreshing. Thank you, Lord God, for a new day. I pray that you touch and strengthen her, Lord God. Strengthen her legs, strengthen her feet, strengthen her body in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, and I thank you for refreshing, fresh fire in the name of Jesus. Thank you for my brother. Thank you that the enemy will lie no more. Thank you, Lord, that this day, Lord God, truth has been declared and that truth is received. And I thank you, Lord God, for new, fresh anointing, fresh fire, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for personal revival to be over him, over his wife, over his household. Let there be an anointing flow over him, over his wife, over his household in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I believe you, Father. Fresh anointing in Jesus' name. Freshness, fresh anointing in Jesus' name. Every foul spirit that tries to come and lie and bring these thoughts, I break the power of them right now. I plead the blood of Jesus right now. And I thank you, Lord God. Fresh anointing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for my sister. Thank you, Lord God. The enemy has been lying and lying and lying. And sister, the Lord says there is freedom in the blood. There is deliverance in the blood. There is a new day in the blood. And don't look at yesterday. Quit looking back at yesterday, saying I can't do it today because I messed up yesterday. I didn't do it yesterday. God says today is a new day. God's mercies are new every morning, Lord. Fresh anointing over my sister in Jesus' name. Thank you for my sister, Lord. Thank you for her love for the body. Thank you for her love. Thank you for the love that she has for her brothers and sisters, for her family. And I pray, Lord, all that she has been giving, I pray that you would refill, fill her up. Fill her up, Lord, a fresh fire, fresh anointing in the name of Jesus. Fresh anointing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father. Fresh anointing, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord. I thank you for it. I pray for personal revival. I pray for a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost in her life in Jesus' name. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing in Jesus' name, and I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for my sister.
Help us though to get an indigestion.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for touching my sister. Thank you for healing. Thank you, Lord God, for a touch on her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, if it's not yours, it's not hers. And I pray in the name of Jesus, we both rebuke any symptoms, any physical symptoms in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for fresh anointing, fresh fire, fresh anointing. Lord, let there be personal revival, I pray. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Why are you at the altar this morning? Why did you come up this morning? I just had to stop and ask you that.
It's on the right time this morning. It's been a long journey.
What do you want God to do for you?
upon him and that we believe. He gave his only son for you, just as much as you believe that he's for you.
He did.
I want him to give my son the same God.
So he did give his only son for you.
You woke up to talk to me today, bro.
He did give his son just for you. You're worth it. You're worth it. Have you ever accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, indeed.
You did?
Absolutely.
Do you think you're there with him? Do you want to rededicate your life? Or are you there with him where you need to be?
Not as much as I would have been.
I want you to make a fresh commitment to the Lord this morning, if that's okay with you. You want to do that?
I do. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I want you to pray after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you came and you died just for me. Just for me. My name is in John 3:16. And I thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, and your power to use me. To use me. Lord, forgive me.
Please forgive me, Lord.
For the times that I've walked away,
not been obedient to you.
Here I am, Lord.
I give myself to you.
Save me.
Cleanse me.
Set me free
from myself.
I give myself to you.
I give myself to you wholeheartedly.
I want to be
your people.
And I receive it
right now.
I'm yours.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Now, Father, I pray for my brother. I pray for my brother.
Come on, give me a hug.
I pray for my brother, Lord. Touch him, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Any places that are broken,
yes, Jesus.
Heal.
Yes, Jesus.
Any places that are